A very happy hump day to you. Special you, Pervin.
Hump day.
Just kidding. Not really. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Nice to have you here. All right, so I'm fired up because Wednesday, and I know I say this every single Wednesday, but it holds true. Every single Wednesday, it is a busy, busy day. Arguably the busiest day of the week here in the jungle because we have so many devices. Things to get done. Let's get at it. Telephone bridge toll free. Yes, it is a beef segment day. One of the highlights of the week is the What's Your Beef segment. And I know that you know it's on Wednesday. You just don't know where it is on Wednesday because it does move around. Let me lay it out for you. Good news, bad news. Good news is open phones now are number one. Bad news is I know you won't take advantage of it because you are waiting for the beef. You know, by the way, you can do both. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to use that phone number in the first hour, you go right ahead. If you want to use that phone number for the beef segment, then the beef segment is at 10:40 Pacific time. If you're new to this program, I will lay out how that works a little bit later on. But the long and the short of it is, if there's something that's aggravating you, I am here for it. I don't care what it is. It can be anything in any walk of life, sports or non-sports. Hit me up. What's your beef? 1-800-636-8686. If you want a beef on Twitter, that works too, at Jim Rome. All right, top of hour number two. He is a legend, both in and outside of this program. He is Texas head basketball coach, Chris Beard. Chris Beard at 10. What's your beef at 10:40? All-time great guy. Eric Wood, former Buffalo Bill. Love you, Wood. He joins me at the top of hour number three. Bills have arguably their biggest home game in years. They will go up against the Patriots. Third time they're going to play each other in less than 2 months. Eric Wood, 11 o'clock. Cameron Smith, PGA Tour golfer, 11:40. What's your beef? ATP, lots to get done. And the old man in the back row is right there. Check him out. Way to play through it. Way to play through it, Ike. He did explode his calf the other day. All right, so where do we start? Oh, how about this? The New York Giants fired Joe Judge. The Giants fired Joe Judge. Now, those are words that I never thought that I would say. Never mind that this dude was walking around acting and talking like he was Bill Parcells, when in reality, he's not even Ray Hanley. Yet for some reason, Giants ownership could not praise this guy enough or love him any more than they did. And for reasons only known to them, because even on the outside looking in, the rest of the world could see this guy for what he really was. Totally unprepared. Totally unprepared, talking out his ass, in over his head, and a joke, and an embarrassment. Literally everything this guy touched turned to crap. Yet, as other more successful and more qualified coaches were getting broken off left and right, Joe Judge was safe. I mean, safe. Hell, pretty much untouchable, unfireable. Why else do you think that after another embarrassing season, when the rest of the world mocked him and the organization, the ownership tells him, hey, listen, Joe, you're good, you're fine, we're going to bring you back. However, there has to be some changes made. And apparently Judge waits for them to finish and then reportedly says something along the lines of, you done? You done? Good. Now here's what I need. Here's what you're going to do for me. You're going to involve me in hiring the next GM. You're going to involve me in hiring my next boss. Except he's not going to be my boss. I'm going to be his boss. You know, Judge is like a fourth grader. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of you. All of you. Like I said yesterday, I don't know if this guy is the most out of touch dude ever, or if he just has got the biggest brass set ever, or both. But every single time this guy opened up his mouth, something more asinine came flying out than the time before. It was incredible, because no matter how much he sucked, ownership had his back. And the more he sucked, the louder he got. Second-year coaches who suck generally are seen and not heard. Generally, they are smart enough to answer questions at press conferences and be nice to everybody they meet and spend most of their day in the dark room trying to get better. Not this tool. He was more than happy to be a jackass in press conferences, lecture reporters, and go on 11-minute profanity-laced rants where he bashed other teams, told lies. Unbelievable stories about former players calling him and current players begging him and fans having access to his team email address. And yet, despite all of that, this guy was still closer to getting an extension than he was to being fired. Again. I mean, this guy was so arrogant that he was trying to insert himself into the GM search when anybody else in his position would just be happy that they were only searching for a GM and not a head coach. But now the team is searching for both. John Mara released a statement yesterday that read in part, and I quote, "We met with Joe yesterday afternoon to discuss the state of the team. I met again with Joe this afternoon, and it was during that conversation I informed Joe of our decision. We appreciate Joe's efforts on behalf of the organization," end of quote. You appreciate his efforts. What efforts do you appreciate? The effort where he installed that basketball hoop so his guys can play basketball in the winter to learn how to catch a football? Or whatever the hell he was talking about? Or that time that he had the DBs tape tennis balls to their hands so they could cut down on penalties? Or that time he took the names off the players' practice jerseys in his first camp because, quote, "It's important to know who the players are on the field across from you by their body type and how they move," end of quote. Like, this dude is the gimmickiest head coach in the history of football. Now, if you're Bill Belichick and you pull that crap, you're a genius because you're Bill Belichick. But this goofball was not Bill Belichick. He wasn't even Steven Belichick. He's Joe bleeping Judge. And frankly, he sucked. You ever notice Belichick is a genius but never ever says anything at all publicly? Never. Nothing. Like, Joe Judge didn't come off like a smart guy. He came off like a dumb guy whose idea of being a smart guy was that he wanted everybody to know that he was the smartest guy in the room, except he wasn't.
Gimmicky little bitch.
And the absolute best part, and the proof of just how ignorant this guy is the fact that Joe Judge literally, literally coached and talked himself out of his job. Literally. The job was his. He had the best job security in the NFL. He kept on getting blown out, and ownership kept backing him. He was stacking blowout losses. They weren't just losing, they were getting hammered. They weren't even competitive, and yet ownership still backed him. Ownership still loved him. I mean, this guy had so much support, he had the audacity to try to play a role in hiring his boss. Yet somehow, some way, when it was pretty clear they were going to bring him back, over the last week and a half, this dude somehow talked and coached his way into getting fired. Literally. There was that 11-minute rant, chock full of expletives and lies. And then, of course, there was this.
At the half. Interesting formation.
I mean, really, you're at the 4-yard line, and you don't feel comfortable enough in your offense to be able to run a traditional play. I mean, I get the first one when you put yourself kind of backed up inside the 1-yard line.
I mean, this is sad.
I mean, that is just a complete lack of confidence in faith of your offense to be able to execute coming off your end line.
Hilarious. I mean, absolutely hilarious. And if you want proof that Giants ownership still did not want to fire this guy, nobody went down and ripped his badge and his headset after he did that a second time. They let him coach the rest of the game. Then they met with him on Monday. Then again on Tuesday. The fact that they didn't fire him on Sunday or Monday tells you he really did talk his way out of that job. Because he simply could not shut his mouth. Because the Giants did not want to fire this guy. They really didn't. They were going to bring him back. They had somehow convinced themselves that this tool was the next Bill Belichick or the next Nick Saban. They didn't want to fire him, and they didn't want to continue their run of coaches who get canned after 2 years or less. They were fighting like crazy to keep Joe Judge, but he would not let them. He pissed it all away over the last week and a half by coming off as totally unstable, off the rails, and just frankly miserable to be around. I mean, that's part of this too, right? No, I'm not there. I'm not there. But is there anybody or anything about this guy that seemed like he had an ability to motivate or inspire? Anything that he said or did that made anybody want to work for him or run through a wall for him or be around him? I mean, I guess maybe. But every time I saw this guy talking, only one word came to mind: insufferable. Like the most annoying guy to be around. Yet, despite this, he was going to get another year. And honestly, probably get an extension at some point. All he had to do was stop running his mouth. But he couldn't. He couldn't help himself. And he got himself fired. Now, just because the Giants finally came to their senses does not mean they deserve any credit or any praise. Better late than never, I guess. But really, it should have never taken this long. And just firing this guy is not going to get rid of that stink anytime soon. You know, you can't just open up all the windows, open up all the doors, and then hit it with some Lysol. Man, you're not going to get that out of that room anytime soon. The Giants are now going to be looking for their fourth full-time head coach in the last 5 years. The New York Giants. You know who the worst team in the NFL has been over the last 5 years? The New York Giants. You know who's looking up at the Jaguars and the Texans over the last 5 years? The New York Giants. And each of their last three head coaches have lasted 2 years or less. Like, don't get me wrong, Joe Judge was a problem. But the other problem is that somebody thought that Joe Judge was a good idea. Just like somebody thought that Pat Shurmur was a good idea. Just like somebody thought that Ben McAdoo was a good idea. Just like somebody thought that Garrett Ritt was a good idea. Just kidding, old man. Had to slide you in there. This is the team of Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin. And that's been led by a series of clowns. And yes, you can say that I hated this from the beginning. Because I did. And I was right. You know, all you Giants fans who pushed back so hard on me like I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I mean, it really was idiotic from the beginning. He was coming after being the Patriots' wide receivers coach. A group that Tom Brady was always pissed about. And don't think for a second that I've forgotten about all you people who said, yeah, but he's also the special teams coordinator. And John Harbaugh was a special teams coordinator before he became the Ravens head coach. Don't think for a second that I forgot all of you who came at me for that. If that was you, and if you were saying that Joe Judge was going to get John Harbaugh results, John and I will take your apologies right now. That was a horrible take then, and you look even dumber now. John Harbaugh is a Super Bowl winning head coach who cranks out double-digit win seasons. Joe Judge cranks out double-digit loss seasons and excuses like that's his job. If Joe Judge ever dreamed that he was John Harbaugh, he ought to wake up and apologize to him and to me. Joe Judge was not Coach Harbaugh. He was Coach Hardo, the ultimate try-hard guy, desperate to tell everybody how smart and how tough he was when all anybody ever wanted from him was silence. Like, I was right. I accept your apology. You're welcome. And if I, right, a radio/TV knucklehead, could tell that this is how this was going to be, from 3,000 miles away, maybe I should be involved in the next coaching search. You couldn't do any worse. You already have. comparing John Harbaugh to Joe Judge is as ridiculous as, I don't know, comparing Patrick Mahomes to Chad Henne. Yeah, they're both Chiefs quarterbacks.
Kind of ridiculous.
Right? Maybe Joe Judge thought that Mike Glennon was behind center when he called that quarterback sneak. This is for you, clones. Maybe he thought it was Glennon behind center when he called that quarterback sneak. His neck alone would have gotten that 9 yards for the first down. You like that, clones? In fact, when Mike Glennon throws a Hail Mary, they just run a quarterback sneak. You see what I did right there for you, clones? Actually, I take that back. Unless Glennon can hold the ball with his ears, this is impossible. That was a stretch. Hey-o! You see, clones? Sometimes I do give you what you want. You can see Glennon with the ball under center on his own 1 yard line. Washington playing back, prevent defense, too deep, safeties back on their own goal line as Glennon tries to sneak it from his. DBs are taught to knock the ball down. Go up and knock the ball down. Safety gets pancaked by Glennon's trachea as he stretches from his own 1 yard line. And the ball is up for grabs on the opponent's 1 yard line. You like that? You like that? You see, clones? Every once in a while, I will give you what you want. Other topics. Well, I've got good interviews for one. Chris Beard, Eric Wood, Cameron Smith. And we've got a fist fight. A fist fight that we've all been waiting on that apparently is going to get done. Jorge Masvidal, jungle favorite. Colby Covington, one of the best to ever do it. They hate each other's guts. They hate each other. And if I'm jumping a fister all the way up, you know that's a good one. Got some thoughts on some things I saw in the association last night. I got to admit, like, I love Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker. This is an enormous Devin Booker house. My man's act last night was not cool. Pretty disappointing in that. Still love Devin Booker, but I don't understand what I saw from him at all. Getting into a beef with a mascot in an empty arena. A mascot getting under this guy's skin and in his head. Devin Booker? Who's all about the Mamba mentality? That was just weird. And not good. Below not good.
Not good.
So all of that is coming up. The beef segment is at 10:40. Oh man, Bob in LA must have some serious beef if he's already on hold. My man wants to wait on hold an hour and a half to get his beef in. Hey Bob, I guarantee I'll get you in. The fact that you got in this early. Hey Bob, somebody had to run your ass down.
Run his ass down.
That must be some serious beef. I can't wait to find out what Bob's beef is that he's got to call an hour and a half ahead of time and wait on hold. Man, this must be some serious, serious beef. Somebody's going to get their ass run down. I can promise that. 1-800-636-8686. That is your telephone number. Bills Mafia, exactly what are you waiting on? This is it. Are you not tailgating already? It is going to be cold Saturday night. You know what? That's okay. The Bills have been running the football with authority of late. Bills, Pats, they're going to run it back. Super wild card weekend. How about Ja Morant? How about the Grizz? How about you call me up? Let's take a short time out. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, listen, I know you mean it as a compliment, but y'all got to stop trying to age me. I look great. I feel great. I moisturize. This guy. Hey, Jim, I am in my 40s now, and I've been listening to your show since I was a teenager. Let me stop you right there. If you're in your 40s now, and you've been listening to me since you were a teenager, what am I, 80? Come on, man, stop doing that. I know you mean that as a compliment. Denny, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you know that what that guy says couldn't possibly be true. I mean, look at me. Listen to me. Am I right? Anyway, Jim, I'm in my 40s now, and I've been listening to your show since I was a teenager. I have never called. I have never emailed. I have never tweeted. Again, I will stop right there. I love a guy that's been listening for, I mean, almost decades, never called, never emailed, and never tweeted. What could have possibly have happened that a guy who's been listening 20 years would finally jump in for the first time after those 20 years? I continue. Quote, but I was so excited when I heard that Joe Judge was relieved of his duties. Again, I will stop right there. Sorry to continue to dissect this email. This guy, this is how badly people want to Judge out. This guy's listened to me for 20 years and never once. In all the 20 years of everything I've said and everything I've ever done, good, bad, or otherwise, he's never once reacted. Not once. Until the Giants fired Joe Judge. And then he was so happy that he had to jump in. Quote, but I was so excited when I heard that Joe Judge was relieved of his duties, whatever those may have been, that I felt the need to reach out. As a longtime Giants fan, your rants on Joe Judge have been so on point and accurate this year. I don't know what the future brings, but unless they bring in Pervin, there is no way it can possibly get worse. Great start to 2022. Sean in OKC.
That's devastating.
That's an all-timer right there. It took the firing of Joe Judge to bring that guy out of the woodwork. That's how badly he wanted him gone. That's how much he disliked him. Oh, no, another one. Y'all got to stop doing this. I mean, I guess this is what comes with longevity. Dear Jim, I've been listening to your show for nearly 21 years. Since I was 14. I'm going on 35. I have never been more excited to listen to your show than I have been twice in the last 3 months. The day after old Herb was fired by the clown show in Jacksonville, and today after Bozo, a.k.a. Joe Judge, was axed. You should put your name in the running for the New York Giants head coach. Hell, you should be the new GM too. Ryan from Albuquerque. See, the thing about that is, it's been kind of a tough thing for the show in the sense that think of who we've lost in the last few months. If content is king, I've lost Pervin, I've lost Coach Penis, and I've lost Joe Judge. All iced. All in a matter of weeks. Then again, ice. Has the show been getting the hands in losing all these guys, or did we get them all fired? I don't want to take credit for that, but it probably didn't help, right? But then again, none of this is personal. Like, if y'all were amazing, I'd fire out and say you're all amazing. But if you're all garbage, I'm going to say you're all garbage.
Garbage!
Has been kind of rough on the show, though. We lost three of our guys, and it happened in just a period of several weeks. Pervin, Coach Penis, and Joe Judge. Very sad. Yet, at the same time, look at these emails I'm getting. Hey, Rome, I've listened for 20 years and never once called. But I've never been so excited to call, which tells me, well, frankly, not only do I still sound good, not only do I still look good, I'm still on top of my game if I'm bringing people out for the first time in 20 years. At B. West Maui, quote, after listening to your amazing show yesterday, we decided we had to fire Judge. However, it did feel like you were taunting us, and we know nobody wants that. Signed, John Mara.
Nobody wants to see a player taunting another player.
Really, John? Because we actually all want to see that.
Hey, John.
You don't want to see that. You and a few super old rich billionaires don't want to see that. The rest of us, we're here for it. We really want to see it. Dear Jim, that Judge really blew it. Signed, Lance Ito.
Oh.
All right, so if I had to ask you, what knucklehead do you think sent a Lance Ito reference? Who do you think it would be? If you guessed Brett in Bugaha, you were right. And by the way, Brett, if they didn't guess you off the bat, you would have been in the top three. There's no doubt. It was either you or Geoff. This guy, on the other hand, it's Squirrel 2. Quote, Joe Judge is out of touch. He's also out of time. Yours, Hall & Oates. Brett, you'll never be that guy. And that wasn't that hard, but that was that good. Good job, Squirrel. Joe Judge is out of touch. He's also out of time. Yours, Hall & Oates. I don't really know why that made me laugh, but that made me laugh. Justin, MR25, Dear Rome, Joe Judge got fired by the Giants. Hip, hip, hooray! Regards, Jim Zorn.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Man, Jim Zorn was such a good quarterback. I'll leave it at that. Beauregard's Butler, quote, Jim, Joe Judge should have kept his mouth shut, signed big head cursing and ordering beer at the Wynn casino meetings.
Serial ass.
You what, the Wynn bed meeting? I mean, I'm not even embellishing this. That happened. That really happened. My man, the big head. You've heard him during his segment. This guy has trouble with some of the most basic elementary words in the English language, but he had no problem with the F-bomb repeatedly in a meeting with an enormous client. I'm in the meeting. I've never invited him to a meeting, much less a meeting of that magnitude. Craig Kitchen is in that meeting. Craig Kitchen is an icon and a legend of the industry and somebody that I've worked for and with for a quarter of a century. Not only one of the most gifted and extraordinary broadcast executives that this game has ever known, but the nicest human being that the planet has ever known. I've worked with and worked for Craig for 25 years. I consider him one of my best friends. He's my manager now. I think I've heard him utter the F-bomb once in a quarter century. James Kelly uttered it five times, that many times, in 5 minutes in a meeting. I'm like, comfortable much, Head? I finally broke out my phone during the meeting, and I texted him across the table, and I said, yo, Head, with regards to the F-bombs, STFU. Dude, stop. Stop. And stop ordering beers. This is not a bar. It's a meeting. An important meeting, man. This guy. Speaking of the big head.
Right.
We are not. It is super wild card weekend. So it's super important. And it's super necessary. And we are not having big head bets. Not on the show on Friday. I'm giving it its own podcast. The Jim Rome podcast. Not dropping today. Dropping Friday. We want to buy ourselves some time, especially in a COVID era, to see who might play and who might not play. And we're going to push that out Friday afternoon. So if you're looking for big head bets, it's not going to be Friday on the show. It's going to be Friday offline, off air, but as part of a longer extended podcast. And all right, Head, you have my permission. You can F-bomb there. It's a podcast. When we come back. We're still open in hour number one. Chris Beard, top of hour two. Head basketball coach at Texas, legend. The Beef segment, 1040. I mentioned the Bills have one of their biggest home games in years. Can't wait for it. So I'm going to get a legendary former Bill, Eric Wood, to come on at the top of hour number three. Cameron Smith, 1140. All of that still ahead on a really good Wednesday. First up, here's a sports update. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California,
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wednesday means a lot of things, including that it's an Ask the Pros Day. Ask the Pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Like I said, it is a compliment, but you're aging me badly with these takes. I mean, time is a bitch, and it's undefeated. But some of these things are pretty amazing. Like this guy, Turtleneck Tan Man. I've been listening since January of 1998, when I was a senior in high school. I, too, was super excited to listen to your show today, Monday after the crazy wild day of football this past Sunday, and when Pervin Liar got fired. I was also excited every Thursday to watch the train wreck known as RIT screw up the board.
Thank you.
But that's been taken away since Alvy decided to start working full weeks again. Mario in SF. It's kind of funny. Like that guy said, I started listening in January of 98. This guy also says, Romy, I started listening to you in 98. When I moved to San Diego after college, I'm now 47. I've been listening to you for half my life. Good Lord. War the show. David and Indy. It's kind of a scary thought, right? Like, you're an old man, David. You're 47, and you've been listening to me half your life. But like I said, I've never sounded better. I've never looked better. I've never felt better. And you know why that is? I moisturize. That's the key to longevity. Just moisturize. Hit with some moisture. I'll never forget. I would give anything to remember the athlete who hit me with that the first time when I was doing my first TV show for ESPN2, Talk 2. And an athlete came on the set, and he said to me during one of the breaks, you moisturize, right? And I just laughed. I'm like, no, I don't moisturize. What do you mean, do I moisturize? And he was like, incredulous. He's like, are you kidding? You don't moisturize. I said, no, do you? He said, of course. Never, ever had heard anything like that. And then one day, I interviewed Jerry Rice, who's incredible, and he moisturized his feet before he went on the air. Also incredible.
Foot, feet, toes.
Speaking of feet, I remember one time I was chasing an interview with Evander Holyfield before one of the big fights in Vegas. I think if you go way, way, way back with me, you remember one of the ways I got my start and one of the ways I made my name early on was I would cover the fights. I was a big, big boxing guy back in the day, long before MMA was a thing. And I would go to the fights. And I went to Atlantic City. I went to Vegas. I mean, I went to a lot of championship fights. And I remember I was trying to run down Evander Holyfield when he was in his prime. And they told me, yes, he'll do the interview. He'll tape a radio interview with you, but you got to do it when he's getting his pedicure. So I sat with him while he got a pedicure. So never underestimate the importance of taking care of your feet. Ask Jerry Rice. Ask Evander Holyfield. Ask Rex Ryan.
Here we are.
Romy. I've been listening to you since I was 16. I am now 37. In college, I used to schedule my classes around your show and The Days of Our Lives. Longtime listener, never called, Lady Clone at NY Delight.
Lady Clones.
What up, Lady Clone? She is a longtime listener and a longtime tweeter. Appreciate you, NY Delight. She's been around a long time. She used to schedule her classes around the show and Days of Our Lives. At Dave Hahn 39, yo, Rome Slice, I've been listening to you for months, and I'm only 19. Hell yeah. If that's true, well, if you're Dave Hahn 39, why are you not Dave Hahn 19? Are there 38 other Hahns? My man, I hope that's true. I was going to say, as moved as I am, Hans, Bobby. Are you lying or is that true?
Booby.
Hey, Dave Hans.
Hans.
Booby.
Hans. Booby.
Yo, bro, if you're only 19, you probably don't know about that movie. Die Hard. Go watch it. It's incredible. I was going to say, as moved as I am, as touched as I am by all you geriatrics saying you've been listening to me for 40 years, you know what would move me and touch me even more? If somebody under the age of 50 were to say it. And there he is. Han. Dave Han.
Hans.
I've been listening to you for months and I'm only 19. That's the one that I want.
Hans.
No offense. I really love and appreciate all of you that have my back. But very clearly, if you're here 30 years in, you're always going to be here, and we're all going into the ground together. All right? That's a given. If I'm going to stay in this game and continue to dominate, it's going to take more than just moisture. I need to appeal to some younger fans, so I love that guy. Han. Good to have
Hans.
You, bro.
Bobby.
Paulie and Indy, quote, I've been listening to your show since the 90s, but I can't find you anymore. Terrence. That was one of the all-time surprises slash disappointments. And at the same time, I was relieved. So you've got this guy, Terrence and Sierra Madre. Terrence and Sierra Madre was one of the first legendary callers. And he was an outlier. And there was nobody like him. He had his own brand. He was like one of one. There was nobody like him. He was incredible. And then he disappeared. And that was the big question for a long, long time in the jungle. What happened to Terrence? He must have passed away because, frankly, he didn't sound like the healthiest guy. Didn't look like the healthiest guy.
Welcome to the jungle, Martinsville.
All right, so as an example, that call. Alvin, what year was that? Back when we used to syndicate this show on a grassroots effort. Back when we would go banging on doors. Literally door to door, market to market, trying to get affiliates to carry the show. I mean, this was a grassroots effort. I started with one station in San Diego, and then we had four, then we had six, then we had nine, then we had 14. And every time we added a station, there was this hazing process, and it was incredible. It was so fun. That was Terrence and Sierra Madre welcoming Martinsboro to the jungle.
Martinsboro.
So, I mean, really good stuff back in the day. Trust me, that passed as legendary. And in fact, a lot of it would hold up. And then one day he was just gone. And then gone for so long that, frankly, I figured he died. And it was sad and we never knew. And then finally, got the band back together. And there was Terrence after all these years. And I said, Terrence, my God, dude, where have you been? So good to see you, brother. I thought you were dead. And Terrence's response to me was, yeah, well, you were no longer on in Los Angeles, so I just didn't know where to find the show. I said, that was no longer on in LA, and you couldn't find the show. That's why we haven't heard from you. He's like, right. So that was at the same time, I was relieved. And extremely befuddled and bewildered and disappointed. Like, there's so many ways to get the show, but not everybody is in touch with new media and new technology. And when he lost the affiliate in LA, that was the end of him. Or so I thought. Weird stuff. Let's see here. Romy. Let me jump on the bandwagon and tell you, I turned 41 last month. I used to sneak a Walkman with digital AM band into class as a sophomore and run the earbud wide through my sleeve and palm and my ear to listen to the jungle during class. Wore the pimp in the box, spitting hot fire for another 30 years. Josh in the OC, love that. This guy was running his earbud, the wire, through his sleeve. And he would listen in class. I got a lot of that back in the day. People listening in class. Not on the way to class. Not after class. But like literally listening to the show in class. Jake tweets, my dad said he could beat those listeners. He's been listening to you since you were Smack Sauce protege with the weekend show where you had a blockhead award. Love the 80s. Oh, dude, your dad wins. If your dad remembers the blockheads, was literally one of the first segments of the Scrub Saturday show. Now, that goes back as far as anything. The blockheads. T-Rob Actor, my buddy, introduced me to the show the week of the Smack Off 2001. Been a fan ever since. That's good. Rome, I started listening to you in 2000 at the age of 23 during my first job doing outside sales after graduating college. I am 44 now. Eric in Colorado. Incredible. One more. Mr. Rome, I am 23. I've been listening to you off and on for 5 years, and now for the past 6 months, I've been listening to you every day. I quit my job at Chick-fil-A, and I got a new one so I can listen to you every day. Nick and Erie. All right. Huge win. One, you quit your job at Chick-fil-A. Two, you're under the age of 80. I love it. My man. Tell your boys. Tell your friends. I like it. You know what? My son, Jake, who's a junior in college, says that a lot of his friends in college listen to the Reinvention Project. That the kids like that show, that pod. They're getting a lot out of it. I like that too. All right, so hour number two coming up, and we start hour two by talking to Chris Beard. That's next.